Let's take our Bibles now once again. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew 11. Last time we looked at the first six verses of this 11th chapter. And now I'd like to look at verses 7 to 15. I've entitled this message, "The Kingdom of Heaven Suffereth Violence." Now the Lord has given the two disciples of John that came to him, and they asked the Lord, being sent of John, verse 3, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Now, his answer was one that declared him to be the fulfillment of the Scriptures. That was his answer. They asked him a question. Are you he that should come? They knew that the Messiah was coming. Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? And his answer was a declaration from the Word of God who he is. Verses 4 to 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, these miracles, they were actual miracles, but they set forth a spiritual meaning. You know that. We dealt with that last time. But these miracles, according to the book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, these miracles actually were the ordained confirmation of God to his person, who he was. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 says this, Peter preaching, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And not being offended in him." That was the Lord said. "You tell John, this is what you see, this is what you hear. And you tell John that blessed is he who is not offended in me, that knows me." In Matthew chapter 16, just a few pages over, the scripture says, the Lord speaking, and Matthew 16, 13 to 17, excuse me. "Then Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He told Peter, he said, "Peter, you're a blessed man, because my Father has revealed to you who I am, that I am the Messiah." Now John's disciples, back in Matthew 11, John's disciples have left, and then the Lord now will give his word of testimony concerning John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is in jail. You know that. He's in jail for his boldness of telling Herod the king, "It's not lawful for you to take your brother's wife, to take Herodias." And Herod threw him in jail. And the Lord now is going to give a testimony. Now, you remember now, the Lord, John knew the Lord. And as we said last time, John sent his two disciples to the Lord to ask the question, are you the one we're looking for? Not for John's sake, for their sake. That they might hear the word of the Lord. That they might hear the voice of the Master saying, you go tell John this. And when the Lord told those two disciples of John, you go back and tell him, the Lord was talking to them. He was telling them something. And now the Lord is going to give his word of testimony concerning John the Baptist. Verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it's written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, it wasn't John who was set forth as being without knowledge of the Lord. It wasn't John that was demonstrated to have a lack of faith. The Lord set forth that this is the man that was chosen of God as the forerunner of the Messiah. And wisdom himself would instruct John's disciples concerning John. He asked them, he said, concerning the one that's now thrown into prison because of his faithfulness, the one that sent you over here, the one that all these people have been flocking to hear, that was baptizing out in the Jordan River. He said, who'd you go out to see? Did you go out to see a little weak, tottering reed shaking in the wind? Did you go out to see a little soft, wimpy man in soft clothing? Who'd you go out to see? A prophet? He said, I'll tell you this. He said, you saw more than a prophet. What a blessing to hear the testimony of John from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What we see in the Lord's testimony of John is the Lord's knowledge of his people. He knows, he said that, I know my sheep, I know them. What a blessing to know that Almighty God knows the trials, the sufferings, the labors of his people. He knows. He knows them. And he knows their feelings of themselves and feeling the weakness in their execution of that which they truly believe the Lord's called them to do, whatever it is. I've told you before, and I'm honest. This is an honest statement right here. You're looking at the most insecure man that when it comes to preparation of a passage, and then the execution of that passage. Always the trials and the questions, you know. Lord, help me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. I will begin to write out. My wife will tell you this. I'll begin to write out a set of notes. Got a set of notes right here. You're looking at probably the third or fourth writing of those notes. Why? Because I'll go back and read them. I'll scratch that out and go back. And you come to that point. You say, Lord, unless you bless this. I meant that when I said, I got a set of notes, but unless the Lord blesses it, it's just words. But I want to be honorable. Who'd you go out to see? A man that insecure and stuff in himself, yes. But he said, I'll tell you who is. This man was more than a prophet. This is a man chosen of God, directed by God. And remember, he who knows his own keeps his own, suffers his own. to go through these trials and tribulation. And they know that the labors that they perform, they'll readily admit they put no confidence in themselves. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Concerning the labors of God's people. Here's what Scripture says. Philippians 2, 12, 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. It didn't say work for your own salvation. It said work out. I wrote this down, make sure I got it right. Finish or fashion your own salvation in that spirit concerning what the Lord's done for you. In dependence upon Him. I'm going to prove what I'm saying right here by the next verse. You fashion, you fulfill, you walk. That's what it's saying. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. You're not doing it. It's God that works out. Who'd you go out to see? A prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet. This was a man chosen, loved of God, directed by God, kept by God. In prison? Yes, for the glory of God. John was a man convinced of the Lord's teaching. John was a man, now listen to what I'm about to say, because I'm going to say it exactly the way I want to say it. John was a man who was strong in the Lord because he knew something of his own weakness. That's what Paul said. When I'm weak in myself, weak in my ability, weak in my judgment, weak in me, and dependent upon Him, trusting Him, calling on Him, then am I strong in the Lord. So here was a man. Who'd you go out to see? A prophet? He said, more than a prophet. Verse 10 says in Matthew 11, for this is he of whom it's written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And of John, it was recorded, him being convinced of the Lord being the Messiah, him being the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here's what John said of the Lord. He must increase. Is that not what a believer says? He must increase. What does the old carnal heart say? I must increase. John said he must increase. I must decrease. Here's what John said concerning the Lord. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John, by the grace of God, knew his place. He knew his weakness. He knew his own unworthiness. But he had this testimony of the Lord. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I said last week, Moses, Abraham, all the prophets, he said there was none greater. None greater than John the Baptist. None of them excelled John the Baptist. But there was this testimony concerning John the Baptist. None greater. But then the Lord made this statement at the end of verse 11. Notwithstanding. None greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, let me preface what I'm about to say with this. There cannot be in the kingdom of heaven degrees of worthiness. There cannot be degrees of worthiness found in the kingdom of heaven. All God's sheep are loved with the same love. God's not a respecter of persons. Same love of God everlasting. They were all bought with the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all called, regenerated, sealed, led, taught by the same Holy Spirit. They're all robed in the same righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to them. So therefore, if there cannot be degrees, now I do understand there's differences in calling and position. I understand that. I understand that there was a Paul the Apostle, and I understand that there was a thief on the cross that the Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise." I understand that there's differences in positions in this life and where the Lord places. I get that. But I'm talking about degrees of worthiness. What is it that makes a man accepted in the beloved? It's Christ. So there's no degrees of worthiness in men and women as they're born in Adam. There cannot be. Cannot be. So of whom does the Lord speak? I respectfully say that the Lord is speaking of Himself. Himself. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to be sure and look at these next few verses. Philippians chapter 2. He that is least, or may I say it this way, has made himself least. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Speaking of the Lord himself, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now this next statement right here, let me just go ahead and just tell you right up. Neil, I cannot grasp hold of this statement. I cannot. But made himself, I read all the interpretations of what it says. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, he who made himself of no reputation. One of the interpretations of this no reputation, emptied himself. He did not empty himself of glory, I can tell you that. He took upon himself, in making himself of no reputation, and I don't know how to say it any other way, made himself of no reputation, that is, he took upon himself the form of a servant. How much did he make himself the least? He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. There's none greater than John the Baptist. That's what the Lord said concerning John. Notwithstanding, he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Now here again, I ask the Lord's direction, ask if I err, right here, if I err here, I pray the Lord forgive me and give me understanding, but I'm going to attempt to make good on him who made himself the least. Turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22. I'd like to read verses 1 to 6. Psalm 22, 1 to 6. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, and thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm. I am a worm. And I'll tell you this, except for the Lord's revelation, who would dare to speak? I know this is him. I from the beginning, my God, he said that from the cross. I know that's him speaking, but what contrast? The one who declared, it was the Lord himself, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that declared unto Moses, you tell him, you tell Pharaoh, I am that I am, have sent you. That's who I am. I am the self-existent one. And then through the pen of a man named David, he who made himself the least in his submission to the suffering servant. He said, I am a worm. And I looked this up. I am a worm. I am treated as a voracious. This is Strong's concordance. You like to look this up. Treated as a voracious and groveling maggot, not worthy of his notice. I am a worm and no man. What contrast can be found in only the Lord Jesus Christ? Of himself, being Almighty God, the God of all glory and honor and praise. There's none but him. None like him. There is no God but me. But making himself of no reputation, hanging upon the tree, bearing the sins of his people in his own body, forsaken of God and crying out, our fathers cried unto you and you heard them. You heard them. And you've forsaken me. Forsaken of the Father. Why? Because he was there bearing all the guilt answerable to the punishment that was due the sin he bore. I make myself answerable. Answerable. And God forsook him. And God killed him. God killed him. He died under the judgment of God. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And he bore it. Of all men born of women, none greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least, he who made himself least in humility and servitude before God, is the exalted Savior of sinners. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee would bow, every tongue would confess. Hebrews 1, 8 and 9 says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness beyond thy fellows. Above thy fellows, I'm sorry. Back in Matthew 11. Verse 12, the Lord says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, from the days of John the Baptist. Now, if you want to know what that means, hold your place right there. We're coming right back as I wrap this up. Look at Mark 16:16. If you want to know what it means, from the days of John the Baptist. I read numerous ones that said, well, the days of John the Baptist, it wasn't that long. It was just, you know, just a few months. Luke 16:16 gives us insight. I'll get it right in a minute. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. So when he talks about the days of John the Baptist, the Lord is saying the law and the prophets were come up to an end until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. So when we say from the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The Lord is saying, from the time of the law and prophets, which truly did set forth and declare that the Messiah was coming, he's coming, was until John. Until John, all the law and the prophets were saying, he's coming. The promised one shall come. He's going to come. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. John was the one chosen of God to say, behold, the Lamb of God. There he is right there. He's here. He's here. From the days of John the Baptist, those days that set forth, God truly had a people. A people chosen of God, a kingdom of people that would be made willing servants in the day of his power. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Now, what does that mean? There's a lot of violence toward them, and that's there's no doubt about it. But here's what this means. Suffereth violence. It means you may have a marginal reading in your Bible. It's gotten by force. It's gotten by force. The kingdom of heaven suffereth, or is gotten by force, and the violent take it by force. Now, the whole key to the understanding of that 12th verse, I believe, is actually in the word, last word of it, force. And the violent take it by force. Now, the kingdom of heaven is plucked, is taken. And the word force right there is from another word, and it's G138, if you want to look it up. G138 is from that word. Force is from that word. And it means for oneself. It's taken by force for oneself. Herein lies the meaning. Without a doubt, we know that whenever the Lord calls men, calls women out of the darkness of sin and unbelief, they're given a new heart, made willing in the day of God's power, and they stand fast. Now, this is the general interpretation of this. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is the general thought of that. That men, women called by grace, made willing in the day of his power, they walk with conviction. They walk with devotion. And by the grace of God, They know that God Almighty is sovereign in creation and in providence and in salvation, and they're earnest in their desire for the glory. And they'll go wherever they need to go, and they'll stand for the truth of the gospel. And I agree with every bit of that. I agree with all of that. Nope, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I believe that. I believe that the Lord who calls a man, calls a woman, keeps them. Keeps them faithful. Kept by the power of God through salvation. But that is actually the effect of what has happened. They are not those that take the kingdom of God by force. They are not the ones that take it for themselves. They are not the ones who go and grasp hold of God's people. Where does the force come from? Well, John 17 declares where it came from. John 17:2 says, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Matthew 28, verse 18, what did the Lord tell his disciples as he was getting ready to send them out? Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You therefore go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God calls a man, calls a woman. He calls them in power. And he takes them by force. He takes them by his power through the preaching of the gospel. It is God Almighty's power that takes them. So whenever we read this right here back in Matthew 11, when Scripture says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence." It's gotten by force. And the violent, the powerful one, the all-powerful one, God Almighty, takes it. Takes it. He doesn't invite them. He doesn't try to move on their emotions. Spirit of God, we read this in Ezekiel. He said, I'll remove that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And you're going to be my people. And I'm your God. And Almighty God takes them. He takes them. I'm so thankful that he takes them. And then in closing, back in Matthew 11, he says in verses 13 to 15, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias," that's John the Baptist, "which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Here is the revealed time of the law and the prophets saying, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." John has declared, "He's here." The Messiah, the Lamb of God. This is the one in whom all the sheep were chosen before the foundation of the world and would powerfully come and rescue them from the bondage of sin and unbelief. The Lord said, "If you have ears to hear, you hear what I'm saying. I'm here," he said. "I am he of whom John was the forerunner." May God bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake, amen. All right.